Welcome to Pink Sunday.
Amen. Let's bow our heads and let's pray over the preaching moment and set this atmosphere. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, God, we do thank you, God. We ask that you would make this atmosphere a learning atmosphere where we can learn and we can grow. We can get something from it, God. Allow even the young people as well as the old to get something from your word. Speak through my mouth. Think through my mind. God, let it be less of me, more of you. Hide me beneath the cross and let this be a moment of clarity, both from heaven to earth and from earth to heaven. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Let the people say, amen. All right, come on with your Bibles in your hands. You may wonder, do you ever get tired of doing this part? Why don't you just preach? No, I love every aspect of this. So let's repeat after me. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I will have what it says I will have. I'm a part of Deliverance Temple, where we love by living our vision every day. We connect with our Creator continually. We confess our deliverance consistently. We commit to serve creatively. We communicate Christ's love compassionately. Father God, feed me your word. Now come on, make some noise if you believe you're going to be fed. Even if you think you're wasting your time, make some noise anyhow. Hallelujah. All right, we're going to start off with John 10:10. I'm going to read it first, and I'm going to make some notes about it, and then I'll tell you what we're talking about today. So John 10:10, this is from the Amplified version of the Bible. And Amplified, it just does that. It amplifies it. It says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came, this is Jesus' words, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. And so that's the regular version. Let me quote to you the Amplified version. The Amplified says, to live life to the full until it overflows. And so I was thinking about abundance, but I'm not going to preach about abundance. But let me talk about it for just a second. We love to speak of abundance and overflow and fill up. And I enjoy all of that because nobody wants to be on the bottom of the barrel forever. You want to see some overflow. But what I want to talk to you about today is that overflow is not the only way that God can bless. God can bless in other ways. Abundance is great. It's a part of the plan of God. It's a part of the kingdom of God. You have a right to expect abundance in your life. Ephesians 3:20 says God can do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us. So there's nothing wrong with abundance, but abundance is not the only way that God can bless you in your life. And let me add this. When the devil wants to mess with you, he doesn't mess with you only by taking from you. Sometimes he messes with you by adding to you. So abundance in every area is not always good. So having said that, would you go ahead and bring the title up for today? And here's the title, When Less is More. When less is more. So we're not going to be talking about the aspect of abundance of more. We're going to be talking about the aspect of less. How sometimes less is more. Let me just throw a few things out there for you to understand and track with me. Less stress is better than more stress. Less pounds around the waist is better then more pounds around the waist. When you're dealing with blood pressure, high blood pressure, the lower the numbers are, the better. When you're dealing with your sugar numbers, the lower it is, the better. Sometimes less is more. Sometimes less is best. So when we are thinking of abundance, don't always assume that every piece of abundance is always automatically good, because sometimes the extra is not from God, it's from the enemy. When the enemy wants to do something in your life, he often copies what God does. When God wants to bless you, sometimes he brings a person into your life when he wants to bless you. So since Satan is a perverter and he can't create anything, he watches what God does and he does the opposite. So if God wants to bless you by bringing a person in your life, Satan wants to curse you by bringing a person in your life. So having more friends is not always the best. Sometimes it's good to have your circle smaller, because sometimes you need people you can trust. I don't mind having extra folk, but sometimes extra folk is harder to know who's with me and who's for me. So sometimes when you have a small circle, you feel like, oh, I'm not blessed. No, sometimes God is blessing you through less. Because sometimes more people stir up more trouble. So sometimes God can bless you through less. So sometimes when God minimizes things in your life, we automatically think that's the devil, but it's not always the devil. Sometimes God is blessing you through less. He's allowing things to trickle away, but because he's trying to bless. So somebody say this with me. Say, less is more.
Less is more.
Sometimes. All right, they already put that graphic on the screen. Go ahead and bring that graphic back up. We won't stay here too long, but at the bottom of it, it says cultivating contentment. Let me pause and say something about that, especially since I just talked to you young people. Let me talk to you young people again. When I was growing up, I was very ambitious, and I always wanted things, and there's nothing wrong with wanting things, but what I learned is I wasn't always ready for what I wanted. So sometimes God didn't say yes to my prayer. He allowed me to function on less to see what I have an attitude with him with less. Because sometimes it's how you function with less that promotes you for more. You don't always need everything that you want. Sometimes you need God to close doors in your life instead of opening doors in your life. Sometimes you need God to close windows instead of opening windows, because you're not ready for everything that you want. Sometimes less is the best thing for you for the time. All right, let's go ahead and give us the definition of less. A smaller amount of, not as much. I love cheesecake, but I don't need as much. I don't need a whole pie. I need a slice. Some of y'all love Reese's cups, but you don't need the whole bag. Maybe just one or two will do you. Sometimes less is better. And if you don't discipline yourself to learn how to accept less, then many times what you'll do, you will overdo it. Here's a saying that the young people sometimes say, they just doing the most. You ever met somebody who just does the most all the time? They're always on 10, always on 20. Don't nobody want to be around somebody who's always up here all the time. You loud all the time. You 100 miles an hour all the time. Sometimes you need to dial it back. Sometimes less is more. You know that friend that you like to talk to who has all the tea? Baby, did you hear? Baby, let me tell you. But by the time you get to listen to all the tea, you're so depressed, you're so confused, then you realize maybe that's a friend I don't need. Maybe I don't need all the tea. I don't need to know what everything is going on in Muncie. Maybe for me, less is more. Maybe less social media might be better for you, because you get into the comparison trap, and when you see what somebody else has, it makes you feel bad about what you have. Maybe you need less social media. Can I listen to rap music and be saved? Sure you can, but because of what it talks about, maybe you need less of that and more gospel in your playlist. Sometimes less is best. All right. I know this ain't this happy preaching, but it's good. It's good. As the old folk would say, it's tight, but what?
It's right.
All right. Let's put this up. Learning when taking less is best. So that's where we're going That's where we're going to stay the whole time. It's just learning when taking less is best. Less is not always best, but there are key moments and times where less is best. If you're struggling with addiction of cigarettes, 10 cigarettes is much better than 100. Sometimes less is best. All right, we're gonna break it down to 5 areas where less is best. So just give you, I'm throwing out a lot of ideas, but I'm going to give you 5 biblical areas where less is best. Somebody say, teacher, pastor. All right, number one. Let's start with number one. We're going to bring it on home and make it real, real and plain for you. Number one, go ahead and flash it up there for us. When it costs you your soul, less is best. When it costs you your soul. Read Matthew 16:25.
For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it.
Put up verse 26.
For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul?
Nothing is wrong with gain. But if a man profits, I mean, if he gains everything and he doesn't have his soul intact, meaning he loses his relationship with God in order to get the gain, it profits him nothing. So if it's going to cost you your soul, you don't need it. Mama, she fine. Woo! Mama, she's so fine. I mean, she a brick house. But if it costs you your soul, ain't nobody that fine. Ain't nobody sex that good to cost you your soul. There's not a high good enough to cost you your soul. So sometimes you just gotta walk away from stuff that might feel good, because everything that feels good ultimately is not good. So sometimes you gotta say, how does this affect my soul? Ooh, he smelled good. Oh, water glistening all over his body. Got 6-pack abs, got muscles everywhere. Drive a BMW, but he may not be good for your soul. Sometimes you gotta walk away from things if it's going to cost you your soul. Less is best. You know, people who've been in love 35, 40 years will tell you, when I first saw them, I wasn't even attracted to them. I wasn't even thinking about them. I wanted somebody tall, dark, and handsome. I got somebody short, bald, and chubby, but they end up being the love of my life. Because many times, God knows what's best for you. Sometimes what you think you want is not really what you want. It's not what you need. Sometimes we got to learn to stop going after what we want and start focusing on what we need. What we need is more important. What we need is we need a connection uninterrupted in the soul. In other words, I need my soul to be okay. I need my soul to be saved. I need my soul to have an eternal home in heaven. And so some things are just too costly if it's going to cost me my soul. Let me say it again to you, young people. Your friends are your friends. I get that. But are your friends going to cost you your soul? Let me say it to you adults. Yeah, yeah, yeah. They are who you are hanging out with. But is it going to cost you your soul? Yeah, yes, you like the music, but will the music cost you your soul? It's not about you being a deep Christian, but just because of your soul, you can't listen to everything everybody else listens to. I've told you before, just last year, I went ahead and bought some Jodeci. It took me about 25 years before I could listen to Jodeci like I used to, because it took me back to an old place. Baby, Forever My Lady and Stay, and it took me out of pastor, it took me out of husband, and it put me in another place. So even though I liked it, I couldn't listen to it for a long time. So now I got to a place where I can listen to it, and guess what? I don't take a daily diet of it. because there's still something about it that might set me in the wrong place. So what you have to understand, your soul is the most important thing in your being. Outside of your spirit, your soul is the most important thing. So make decisions based on the soul. Now, in natural terms, we love some good old soul food, some fried chicken, some collard greens, some macaroni and cheese, some cornbread, whatever you like is soul food. But you have to understand, soul food, natural soul food, is not better than soul food, spiritual soul food. And so if something is messing with your soul food, it costs too much and less is best. Let me add this. We include natural soul food. Less is best. When you got high blood pressure, you got gout, you got diabetes, you don't need to be at the soul food restaurant every day. Sometimes you need a S-A-L-A-D. You need a salad. So that, because sometimes less is just best. But does a salad taste like fried chicken? No, it does not. It don't taste as good. It don't look as good. But it might produce a better result. All right, let's move right on along. Number two. Let's add it this. When it costs you your worship, costs you your soul, less is best. When it costs you your worship, less is best. Let's go to Matthew 4:8.
Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory.
This is Jesus when he's being tempted by Satan at the beginning of Jesus' ministry. And so the devil took him up to a very high mountain to show him the kingdoms of the world. Verse 9.
And he said to him, all these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me.
Normally when we think about receiving a gift, it's always a good thing. He said, Satan said, I'll give this to you, but here's the clause. You got to worship me. And I got to tell you, if it costs you your worship, it's too costly. Yeah, you may have a better job. You may have more money, but if you got to worship something else to get it, it's too costly. Less is best. Okay, let me try to walk real lightly in this. Pastor Andre, I need to pay my bills. My bills are struggling, and I don't know how I'm going to make it. So I'm going to start selling pictures of my feet on OnlyFans just to make a little extra money. Sweetheart. If it's going to cost you your worship, it's too costly. You might be able to pay bills, but what we don't understand about temptations from the devil is when we give the devil an inch, he takes a mile. And so we start, I'm just doing this just to pay my bills. Do you know somebody is sitting in prison right now because they were just going to sell a little crack so that they can buy diapers for their child. But before they know it, they're now a dope dealer. And now they got caught when the SWAT team raided them. And now that they're thinking later on, 30 years, a sentence in prison, they realize it really wasn't worth it. But here's the thing. You don't want to know it wasn't worth it too late. You need to know right now. So if it costs you your soul, than if it costs you your worship. Here's the thing. Money in itself, the spirit of money, is made to be worshiped. But we can only worship God. So the scripture tells us that we can't serve God and mammon, which is the spirit that attaches itself with money. So here's the thing about money. Money has a way of us starting to worship it. And if it takes your worship away from God, less is best. Now, hey, I like prosperity. I like prosperity talk. I like the finer things of life, but I would rather have a life right than a life wrong. And we're going to get more into that. So let's move right along. Let's go to point number three. I'm going to take some time on this one. When it costs you your peace. When it costs you your peace. Put this verse up, Ecclesiastes 4:6.
Better is an handful with quietness than both the hands full with travail and vexation of spirit.
In other words, it says it's better to have a little and peace than to have your hands full but vexation of spirit. In other words, I got 4, 5, 6 houses, 7, 8, 9 cars. I can do what I want to do. I can go where I want to go, but I don't have peace. And what God says, you're better off having little and a lot of peace than having a whole lot and no peace. And some people will say, hey, Pastor, I at least like to try a whole bunch. But let me tell you something. Anything that costs you your peace is too expensive. Amen. Let me see if I can give you some examples. Let's go back to the social media example. You see other families going on family vacations. Since my father has passed, me and my siblings, we have been doing a family vacation with the kids, the siblings, and mom. And it's gone well up until this point. And so somebody else may look at that and say, hey, I want to do what the Mitchells do. But your family may not be like my family. Your family may not get along. So stop trying to do what everybody else do. Y'all going to be in the Airbnb busting up stuff, fighting each other, cussing each other out, trying to be like everybody else. Because sometimes when you try to do what other folks do, all it leaves you is vexation of spirit. Sometimes for your family, it's got to be just you and the folk you know that's going to get along. That's right. Sometimes the more folk you take, the messier things get, the more vexation it brings. And so sometimes you just got to say, Sometimes you got to, let's see, how can I say this? Sometimes on Valentine's Day, you got to just accept a card and some chocolate. Why do I say that? Because the man that you have, he can't afford all that extra. But he's going to work hard to give you what he can give you, but you want to be all vexed in your spirit because the girl down the street got a necklace. Listen, don't be the girl down the street. Be the girl that you are and work with what you have. Don't throw away a good relationship based on what somebody else is doing down the street. What you don't know down the street may not have the peace that you have. So take the card, take the chocolate, be content with the little, because it's better to have a little in peace than have a bunch and have a bunch of trouble. I know this ain't pretty preaching. We want to talk about if you put money in the bucket, you spin around 3 times, you're going to be a millionaire. I hope that happens, but normally that don't happen for everybody. So sometimes you just got to learn how to live on the level you're on and find peace on the level that you are on. Enjoy the level you're on. Oh, Pastor, I wish I could go on vacation. I wish you could too. But since you can't, oh, I just want to see the ocean. I just want to see the ocean before I die. Well, I'm going to pray that you see the ocean before you die. But while you waiting on that, take yourself to the reservoir and sit out there, grab you some crackers and some cookies and get you one of them little Martinelli things them apple things that look like it got alcohol in it and enjoy yourself right where you are. It's good to be able to go, but if you can't go, don't lose your peace. You have to understand, I can have peace on any level that I'm on. I can be blessed on any level. I would like to have a new car, but if I'm riding the Mitz bus, I'm going to have peace on the Mitz bus. You're not going to rob my peace because I don't have what everybody else has. I've learned to live on any level and have peace. Now, some folk who have the new cars, we will remind you that the new car smell goes away much quicker than the payments do. The new car smell is gone, but the payments are still coming. So don't be so eager to rush into what somebody else has, because somebody will tell you it's not what it looks like. It's hard to do this. Yeah, I want a big house, but you know, a big house costs. So be grateful with what you have and have peace with where you are and enjoy where you are on the way to where you're going. I'm not saying to be stuck at a level. I want you to advance and I want you to grow, but don't lose your peace chasing after stuff that doesn't give you peace. Amen. Pastor, I just want a man, but sometimes man interrupts your peace. What do you mean, Pastor Andre? Because all you're doing is with your phone looking at his location. You can't even rest. Where he at now? Where he at now? You can't have no peace because you're too insecure. You're too jealous. So you don't need a mate right now. You need peace. I want a fine woman, Pastor Andre, but you know a fine woman gets looks by other men, and you crazy. You can't handle somebody else looking at your woman. You don't need a woman right now. You need some peace. So make decisions for peace and then allow the blessings to come. I'm not saying you can't have a fine man. I'm not saying you can't have a fine woman, but choose peace first. Because when that person comes in and they start messing up your peace, you automatically know that ain't the person for me. Here's the thing. If I'm peaceful by myself, why should I join up with you and let you mess up my peace? Amen. All right, let's go even further with another scripture, just in case you don't think I'm telling the truth. Let's look at what the scripture says. Proverbs 21:9.
Better to live alone in a tumble-down shack than share a mansion with a nagging spouse.
Let me talk to you single folk for a second. Ask a few married folk that you think, oh, that's a boss couple. Oh, they doing it. You see their house? The scripture said it's better to be in a shack and have peace than be in a mansion with the wrong person, with the wrong spouse, hooked up with the wrong one, and lose your peace. It's not worth it. Is it wrong to have a mansion? No. But if it's going to cost you your peace, it's just not worth it. All right, let's move on to point number 4. When it costs you your integrity. Uh-oh. Here's the thing. Let me throw this before I start talking. So before we get to the scripture. If you got to manipulate to get it, you're probably going to have to manipulate to keep it. That's the problem with doing certain things. And when you start jeopardizing your integrity to get it. See, I want them big tax refund checks for when you have extra kids. I want that, but you don't have kids. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to let somebody else put their kids' names on my taxes. Stop doing silly stuff like that. If you don't have it, you just don't need it. Because here's the thing, what happens is when you jeopardize your integrity, you're saying God can't bless you with you walking in integrity. And so you're saying I got to do extra in order to have what I want. And so you start doing weird things and then wondering why God don't bless your weird stuff. Well, here's the thing. If it costs you your integrity, it's not worth it. Less is best if it's going to cost you your integrity. In other words, if you got to lie to get it, you may have to lie to keep it. So maybe you don't need it. If you got to lie and manipulate to get it, maybe you need it, but it's just not the time. And maybe you can wait. Here's the thing. When you get stuff the right way, it just feels better. It just functions better. Do you realize I was almost 35 before I ever had my first pair of Jordans? Could I have had some Jordans? Yes, but I didn't see the need of buying $200 and $300 shoes when I wanted a home. So I put my money toward a home, but I see my other friends walking. I was like, man, I wish I had that, but I had different goals. And I don't understand a person who has boxes of shoes in a house that they don't own. Maybe you should sell all that and buy something that when you die, it will accumulate in value. Now, sneakers today, in today's age, they do have accumulation in value. But one of the easiest ways to wealth is through land acquisition. It's through home ownership. And sometimes you're doing silly things when you could be putting your money together for something that's going to last. Amen. So now I buy shoes when I want to buy shoes, because now I have two houses under my name, a house that my wife runs a daycare out of and a house that we're living in. So now my net worth has gone up because I didn't waste all my money on just outward things. I put things that would invest and would make me money later on. So while I'm sleeping, I'm yet making money because my houses are appreciating in value instead of depreciating in value, because I realized at the time I couldn't afford to buy the shoes when I was working on a plan. So guess what? I just did without. And guess what? It's okay to do without sometimes. It's not going to hurt you to do it out.
You don't need a steak every Sunday. It ain't going to hurt you to have some crackers and cheese if you're working on something. It's okay. Stop allowing what other people to do to mess you up. Just have peace and integrity and enjoy what God is doing in your life.
Amen.
And when you get to wherever you're going, let me pause and say this. The problem with some people, they don't have a plan. So they're not going to get to anywhere. But hopefully y'all have a plan and you're working on the plan. And then when you get and arrive to that plan, it feels so much better. I got where I wanted to because I took my time and it didn't cost me my integrity. All right. Let me back up before I move on. Let me say this. Who did I have to stab in the back to get it? So. It's a different level of integrity. Something in the corporate world is called the dog-eat-dog world. It means I got to step on somebody's back in order to get ahead. Years ago on my job, I told my boss, who happened to be a white man, I said, my nose don't get any browner. He didn't know what I was talking about. But I was telling him, I'm not kissing up under you in order to get ahead. This is as brown as my nose is going to get. And if I've got to kiss up under you, for you to elevate me, I don't want the elevation. I don't want the promotion. If you got to snitch on other people so that you can look better, then you don't need that promotion. If you got to lie and cheat and steal and hurt other people in order to do it, you don't need it and you don't want it. Because here's the thing. Once you start snitching, they expect you to keep on snitching. Once you start lying, and you know a liar starts lying, they got to keep up the lie. Liars lie so much, they start believing what they lied about. They forget that they told a lie, and now they stuck in a lie. And you don't want to do that. So if it costs you your integrity, less is best. All right. I'm trying to move on, but let me say this. If you got to gossip about them to minimize them, to maximize you, you don't need to be maximized. If you got to tear down her body shape to make your body shape look good, look at her. She's so skinny. Men like thick women. They like them thicker than a Snicker. Men like everything. Men like big, fat, skinny, everything. You ain't got to minimize them to maximize you. You stay in your lane. You do you, and who's going to find you will find you. Let them do them, and who's going to find them will find them. We don't have to tear each other down to get ahead. The whole crab in a barrel mentality, or the crab when you're cooking and boiling crabs, you don't have to put a lid on it because the crabs will pull the other one down. If one starts coming up, the crab will pull the other one down. But what the crabs don't understand, if they would latch together, all the crabs could come out. But when you have the mindset that somebody else has to go down for me to go up, you have lost your integrity. All right. It's tight, but it's right. All right, Proverbs 16:8, read that.
Better is a little with righteousness than great revenues with injustice.
Who do I got to cut off at the knees in order for me to be blessed? Who do I got to take advantage of? Let me go back, and I share this often because it still baffles me. I understand it, but I don't understand it. Do you realize that in the old years, the 1800s and the years of America, that people were coming into churches and preaching and having church and having Sunday and going home and beating their slaves and thought nothing of it? Because in their mind, these are three-fifths of a man. They're just property. But it was totally against the scripture. But it brought great revenue to America. Do you wonder how America became a superpower so fast? We had free labor for so many years. And we think, oh, we're the greatest nation in the world. But we don't want to talk about our history. How do we get so great so fast? We did it by dogging somebody else. By trafficking humans, beating them and robbing them and raping them and pillaging from them so that we could have money. Guess what? It's not worth it if you're going to treat people like a dog to get it. And that's why over time America has been judged. Because our foundation is very shaky. The good thing that's going for America, the gospel came to America in a good way, and people have sent the gospel out. That's the only reason why God's hand is still on us, because our history is horrible.
But some people don't care. Let's take it out of the slave situation. Some of y'all don't own slaves, but you'll talk about a person like a dog so you can get ahead. And the scripture says it's better to have a little with righteousness, with a right spirit, with humility, than to have great revenues with injustice. I always wonder, who am I hurting to get this? Let me,
I got a little extra time. I don't have much more to say. So let me add this. And so I'm cheap by nature. I like nice stuff, but I'm cheap. And so sometimes those don't always mirror together. And so I like the way a Louis Vuitton purse looks. I like the way some of the Gucci purses look. I would like for my wife to have one. I just don't want to spend $2,500 for a leather purse. I just don't. But I like the way it looks. So I know y'all ain't never done this. So I started looking at the fake websites. The fake Louis, the fake Gucci. I started looking like that because I like the way it looks. I just don't want the cost. Now, I ain't going to lie to my wife. I told her, I said, I'm thinking about getting you something. I want you to know ahead of time it's fake. I don't want you walking around and telling people it's real because I don't want to pay the real. But as I got to studying the fake stuff, what kept me from buying it is because sometimes the people who make it in the sweatshops are being taken advantage of just so I can have something fake that doesn't cost as much and it wasn't worth it to me. Not only that, sometimes the real stuff, they are taking advantage of people to produce the real stuff. So guess what I did? I just went ahead and bought her a Coach purse, which is right in what I could afford. Now, I could afford more. I just didn't want to spend more. But I was thinking about doing something a little different. But what I got to thinking, in my mind, I got to seeing some little kid pressing out the LV all on that purse, and it wasn't worth it. I wonder if you really knew what was behind some of the stuff that you like, would you still like it? If you knew what people had to go through for you to have what you want to have, I don't know if I want it. If I go to a restaurant, that's my favorite restaurant, and I see the boss treating the waiters and the waitresses bad, I no longer want to eat there. Because I don't want my money causing someone else to be treated bad and talked down to. I have too much integrity. I'd rather have little with righteousness than have a whole bunch with injustice. And if you are a godly person, injustice ought to bother you. I don't like injustice. I don't like seeing somebody treated wrong. And I'm on my job. At my job, I've got 27 years. They can't do nothing to me. They can't fire me. I've been there too long. Now, if I really, really mess up, they could fire me. But I got a union backing me. My job is secure. But when I see them treating a temporary wrong who doesn't have that backing, I get upset. It doesn't affect me, but it's an injustice. Even though it doesn't affect me, I stand up for the little man. And the problem with a lot of Christians, if it don't affect them, they don't care. But here's the way I care. If it affects the little man, it affects me. I'd rather have less. There's times that I have said, no, I don't want the overtime, even though it would give me more money. Give it to this person. I remember one time it was a person that they didn't work as good as I worked. And so what sometimes the bosses want to do, they want to skip over the person who doesn't work as good to get the person because they want to get more out of the overtime. And so they were skipping over a young girl who happened to have 3 kids and she was a single mother and she was trying to get a house and she was a temporary to boot. And so they were trying to skip over her to give overtime to me. Could I use the money? Yes, but not at her expense. So I said, no, I want her to get it. Well, she don't work as hard. Well, here's the thing. They assumed she didn't work as hard. I had worked with her. I know she actually did work as hard, but sometimes when you get a reputation, especially in a job, they'll spread rumors about her, about you that are not true. And I stood up and was like, no, my job is okay. Plus, I don't like being there anyway. I don't want no overtime. So give it to somebody who really wants it and really needs it. Stop being so greedy and taking from other people, taking money out of other people's mouth because you greedy. I ain't talking about y'all, because I know y'all don't act like that. I'm talking to the folk out there. Move on, moving right along. Let's go on. Verse 8, let's read in another version, verse in the New Living.
Better is a little with righteousness than great revenues with injustice.
So we're going to the next verses in the New Living. Read it. there.
Better to have little with godliness than to be rich and dishonest. Mm,
how many rich folk are dishonest? All right. Let's look at Psalms 37, 16 through 17.
Better the little that the righteous have than the wealth of many wicked.
It's just painting the picture all together. All right. For the next verse.
For the power of the wicked will be broken, but the Lord upholds the righteous.
This is what some people forget. God is watching. And just because he doesn't move right away doesn't mean he's not going to move. And what happens with the wicked, there comes a reckoning day for the wicked. And I'm not going to call out people's names, but over the last several years, we've seen major people on television, celebrities, and finding out how they operated behind the scenes. And because they had money, everybody thought it was okay. But when you start looking behind the scenes, what they have done to stay on top, it's kind of rough. It's kind of dirty. It's kind of nasty to see what people are doing. And sometimes we're looking at the folk on TV and wishing we live like them, but we don't know the dirt they're doing to be what they're being. Amen. And so God said there's a reckoning day. So you might as well just be righteous. Even if you're going to have less than someone else, it's better to just be righteous. That way when the reckoning day comes, it won't hurt you. And here's something else I need to add. The scripture says that the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. So when the reckoning day comes, what God does, he switches money from negative hands, evil hands, and puts it into righteous hands. So don't try to be wicked to get the righteousness, to get the wealth and the riches, but be righteous and let God do it in his own time. That way, when it happens, you know on the inside, I didn't have to do anything dirty and evil to get it. All right, number five. This is our last one, point number five, last point. When it cost you more. So all these things, when it cost. Now here's the last one, when it cost you more. Put this up, Mark 12, verse 41.
And he sat down opposite the treasury and watched the people putting money into the offering box. Many rich people put in large sums.
All right, this is not in the notes, but let me pause and say this. I don't like no church to be paying attention to what I give in the offering. Well, Jesus was sitting on the opposite side of the offering, watching everything that was put in there. I just want to throw that out there. He watched everything. Said some put in large sums of money. Rich people, and look at where it goes next, verse 42.
And a poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which make a penny.
She didn't put a whole lot in the bucket. Two little small coins that made up 1 cent. All right. Verse 43.
And he called his disciples to him and said to them, truly, I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the offering box.
She put in more. All she gave was a penny. And other people gave large sums. So how could Jesus say this? Look at what he closes with in verse 44.
For they all contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on.
So less is more when it costs you more. Or less is best when it costs you more. So in other words, these people, they were giving large sums, but it didn't cost them anything. It was extra. It was surplus. But this lady was a widow, meaning she had no support. And she gave a penny, and Jesus says she gave more because she gave everything she had. And I want to say this to somebody who looks at other people and say, man, I can't give what they give. It's not about equal giving. It's about equal sacrifice. If you are sacrificing, giving the best you can give, proudly give your penny. I can't give $1,000. God knows you can't get blood out of a turnip. God knows if you can't, you just can't. But sacrifice and do whatever you can. And sometimes less is more when it costs you more. So sometimes it may cost you more to give your five, but God will bless you more. Your five may not make the biggest difference in the bucket, but it makes a bigger difference to God because he knows from your heart you gave what you can give. And that's why I don't make a big emphasis on the money amounts and the dollar amounts. All I say is the scripture says you give to where you love. If you love us, you'll give to us. And so some people say, I can't give what other people give. Don't worry about it. Just give what you can give. Just be righteous. Just do what God wants you to do. And guess what? When the blessing comes, you won't have anything to be ashamed about. You can welcome the blessings. And this is what I've learned about givers. If givers will give a penny, they'll give a thousand. If givers will give 1,000, they'll give 10,000. If givers will give 10,000, they'll give 100,000. I can keep on going and going and going. In other words, a giver is always going to give. And what I've learned about Deliverance Temple, all of us don't have a whole lot, but I can tell we are givers. That's why I believe we're going to be blessed. And that's why, even though I'm preaching this message, I believe I'm talking to people who are not trying to do it an unjust way. You're not trying to do it by dogging people out. You're not trying to do it the wrong way. And so when y'all get blessed, I get excited and happy for you because I know you're doing it the right way. I would rather have a bunch of us struggling the right way and get blessed than to have us doing the wrong thing and getting blessed. Because if we're doing it the wrong way, I don't want it. I don't need it. Less is more. Less is best. And guess what? We're moving into a new era where we're going to receive some blessings. And people are going to be jealous of us, but they're not going to know we did it the right way and we did it the long way. As I close, because this, I'm actually finished, but as I close, my grandfather said, a bishop told him this years ago. He was sitting in his office and the bishop said, some people get blessed early. Some people get blessed in the middle. Some people get blessed late. He said, I believe you're going to get blessed late. That wasn't really what he wanted to hear. But he was saying, it don't happen like a snap of a finger for everybody. Some people are born with a silver spoon in their mouth. Some people are born struggling. But whether you get blessed early, whether you get blessed middle, or whether you get blessed late, just be happy that you get blessed late. Just get happy you get blessed at all. So Deliverance Temple, we've been through a whole bunch of stuff and we didn't get blessed right away. It took us a lot. We haven't got blessed in the middle. Now we're in the later stages of the ministry and we're about to get blessed. But guess what? We are not going to apologize for it all at all because we took less when less is best. But now that more is available, we're going to take the more. We're going to drive more. We're going to do more. We're going to be more. We're going to have more. And we're not going to have the wrong attitude with it. Guess what? When I get blessed, we all get blessed. When you get blessed, we all get blessed. That's the thing about it. When people get blessed the right way, they're not stingy. They're not greedy. They're so happy to bless everybody else and touch the whole community. And that's how we're going to be because we did it the right way, even though it may have been the long way. All right, let's rise to our feet. We're going to give this confession and then we're going to close. When less is more. All right. Put this up here. I normally read it first, but today we're just going to do it together so that we can go ahead and close. So repeat after me. God, I'll take less when less is best. I'll take less when less is best. The only abundance I want is that which comes from you. The only abundance I want is that which comes from you. Anything else is too costly. Anything else is too costly. Let's bow our heads and let's pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, I'm not even quite sure why you gave this message to give to the people, but I do believe we have some people who are going to move into new areas of blessing. But let them know never to trade in their integrity, never to trade in their peace, never to trade in their worship, never to trade in their soul. Let them do it the right way, even though it may have been the long way. But any abundance that doesn't come from you, we don't want it. We only want what you have for us because what you have for us is what we can handle. And it's the thing that will bless us till the day that we die. And we give you praise for it in Jesus' name. And let everybody say, amen. God bless you. You are dismissed. Have a great, wonderful day. and a marvelous week.